historic weekend, no matter what happens.
Training standards will increase, expectations will increase. I just can't go against Ballyhale.
The Club Championship Show. Subscribe to the GAA podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.
Let's also talk about money and golf and Saudi Arabia. So this is just a quick update and an explainer about where we are at the moment. It's been in the news. It looks like there's been a concerted effort, or maybe it's just bubbling up in the question in the press conferences. But Rory McIlroy has been unbelievably strong about it. John Rahm has been very strong about it. On the other side, there are some players who are like, you're offering me how much money?
Well, a lot more money than they could probably ever need. The Saudi Arabian government, we know, want a sports wash. And they've done that at Newcastle, and they have got the Formula One race there now, and they want to get into golf in a big way. It's funny enough, they had a partnership with the European Tour, which didn't really work out. So that Saudi international tournament was under the European Tour's auspices. Now it's not. And now you have a split. And Greg Norman is the public face of this. Greg Norman, the two-time Open champion, people may remember in the mid-90s, wanted to set up a world tour of golf, fell flat on his face, got Rupert Murdoch to pull the plug at the last minute for Fox TV to be involved in that. But he's back, Greg Norman, and he's the public face. And they've cleverly bought their way with a 300 million quid investment in the Asian Tour. And the Asian Tour has world ranking points. Harald Varner, who won that Saudi tournament a couple of weeks ago, which Shane Lowry was at, and a lot of other hosts of top names were at, including Phil Mickelson. Varner's now into the top 50 in the world, so he can get into the Masters if he stays there. So that's a very clever piece of business that they've done to get into the Asian Tour. They want to have this breakaway league. We're at the stage where I think that it's okay at the moment, because ultimately you've got the top 10 players playing in California this week in the world, and Rory came out of it. We're going to hear from him now. But just before we do that, let's hear from the former Masters champion, the Australian Adam Scott, who was asked about the source of this money for this breakaway league.
I think it's a bigger discussion than just a quick quote from me up here, to be honest. I can understand, obviously, that angle. You know, I think you can argue both sides of lots of things, but at the end of the day, I think my general feeling on this at the moment is that it's only a positive thing for professional golfers at the moment, that there's interest and money coming into the sport, and it's also somewhat forced the PGA Tour to put more money into the professional golfers, and we're seeing that all around the world too. They've put money into the European Tour, the LIV Golf Investments has put money into the Asian Tour, so at the moment that's good for strengthening the professional game. And you know, how everything else pans out, I don't know, but at the moment I think it's good that these things are happening for golf professionals.
I don't know what guys you thought of that, but didn't really leave me with a lot of warm feelings.
Just to explain, work us through your feelings there, John.
My feelings are more aligned with what Rory McIlroy said, and this is quite a hilarious extract from his press conference.
As it relates to the much talked about Super League, or whatever we shouldn't describe it as, you've made your position quite clear.
Not so Super League.
Elaborate, please. No, I'm just kidding. Is there any part of you that is A, tired of talking about it?
Oh, I'm so sick of it.
Okay. So I'm not sure if I have a follow now, but is there any part of you, as just being in the position you're in, that is the least bit curious to see who's going to be the first?
Curious. I don't know if I'm curious, but I'm. I guess I'm intrigued that who would. Certainly for the younger guys, like it just seems like just a massive risk and a massive. I just don't see. I can maybe make sense of it for the guys that are getting to the latter stages of their career for sure, but I don't think that's what a rival golf league is really want to. You know, that's not what they're going to want, is it? I mean, they don't want some sort of league that's like a pre-Champions Tour. You know, it's so. I don't know. Yeah. Like, I guess it's, I understand the financial part of it for guys that are later on in their career, but I certainly don't like. And you look at the people that have already said no, Ram, number one in the world, Colin Morikawa, myself. Like, I mean, you've got the top players in the world are saying no. So, I mean, that has to tell you something.
It might be the case that Phil Mickelson and Bryson DeChambeau do eventually jump ship and go with this tour, although that has not been confirmed. It could be the case that Lee Westwood, Adam Scotty and Poulter are involved in this. But ultimately, if the top players in the world are not involved in it, it's going to be a bit like that North American Football League you had in the mid-80s, which Donald Trump was behind, that tried to get traction but ultimately didn't in competition with the NFL. So that's where I think that this will probably end up. But it's funny that Cramer Hickok, who's a PGA Tour pro, was on a podcast yesterday. I don't know about the complete accuracy of this, but this is what he said. You're going to see a lot of big names jump over there. I think there's already been 17 guys that have jumped over, and I can't say who they are, but there's going to be some big names going over there on the Stripe Show podcast. Look, from what I've heard, the money's very, very appealing. You're only going to have 12 to 14 events. These events are going to have purses. You're not going to have to deal with missing a cut anymore. There's only going to be 40 players, and 10 of those 14 events will be in the States. Signing bonuses, huge, huge purses. It's going to be very appealing for some of these guys. Yeah, you'll see big names for sure. I think the PGA Tour probably just have a nuclear option, that they had to get a dispensation to play in the Saudi tournament a couple of weeks ago, and they'll eventually say, guys, you know, you're going to be cut off from our tour or the DP World Tour if you get involved in
this. Hard to do that legally, you know, like freedom of movement, all that kind of stuff. The Bosman ruling, like that same labour law surely exists within American sports. Do have certain derogations, like, you know, the whole draft system, all that kind of lockdown contracts, one way only stuff, that maybe there is some way, but that would involve the tour paying and then employing the players. So I think there's definitely, from Adam Scott's perspective, the leverage that Saudi has given them versus the PGA Tour, that's one thing. It didn't sound like that was the only thing he was talking about. It sounded like he's considering heading, being one of the major names who goes there. And I know the point that Rory's making, but like, golf is a 52 week a year sport, right? So there are weeks when Morikawa, McIlroy and Ram wouldn't be in a field for whatever reason, because their schedules are like, you know, 4 weeks out from the Masters, they're all in it. 3 weeks out, they're not in it because they're all doing a week's practice. But that happens, right?
Yeah.
On those weeks, if Bryson, Adam Scott, Ian Poulter, Lee Westwood and a few others are playing a tournament in America, in American time slots, like, that's on TV because they've decided to give it free to a rival channel. Like, there's a way you build this that makes the product viable. Now, bear in mind, it's going to lose a lot of money, but that doesn't matter because the money's being printed. So
you might make the product viable, but will it be diluted? In that long, almost turned out like darts in the 90s, where you have two competing tours.
Or darts now, where everybody watches both, it seems. I don't watch both.
The first darts is awful. The BBC darts, or whatever the leg side
stuff. But I'd say it does much bigger numbers than
Sky
darts.
Yeah, but that's because it's on terrestrial TV. If Ger Gilroy and Owen Sheehan and John Duggan went on the BBC, we'd have 10 million viewers.
No, we wouldn't. But thank you.
If they were to do a deal with the... if they put that golf on, like, the sponsors decide, yeah, I don't care, I'm getting, like, cheap access to a mass audience here who have some interest in sport, a passing interest. Just to the Bryson thing, we should just talk about. So the allegation, the leaks suggest that Bryson has been offered $135 million to join. Now, his body is currently going through some issues. It's almost as if you can't sustain that level of training. And, you know, we saw with Tiger, the injuries that he had. He's out injured at the moment. He withdrew from the Saudi Open or whatever it was that he was at after the second round. So it's reported, this report came out as well, that the Saudi Golf League was prepared to spend £1.5 billion.
Yeah.
$2 billion.
That's right, yeah.
So $135 million to Bryson is like, it's not chump change.
It's not.
In that context, but it's like chump change for the owners going, get Bryson, get a couple of other guys. You know, Bryson does his thing. We get the Barstool Sports people behind us. You know, it's like, it's very doable. It does dilute it.
It's doable, but sport is about competition and sport is about prestige, and golf is all about like wearing that green jacket and not being able to buy it and not being able to dine in that locker room unless you're a champion or winning the claret jug and all these kind of things. And maybe
golf's about money for a lot of people.
It is.
It's not about the green jacket. It's about how much money they can make.
Well, if that's the case, then they're not. That's why the likes of a lot of these players we're talking about are over the hill. And they're not going to be winning green jackets, and they're not going to be winning major championships. So to me, sport and golf, maybe it is what it is, but to quote Tiger Woods, but it should be, like as Mike Lorenzo Vera was saying yesterday, why don't they give the money to the poor people in Yemen, you know?
Because they don't care about the poor people in Yemen.
Yeah. And, but it just shows how much of a bubble these people live in. And I've covered golf tournaments, and they're so polite and they're so genteel. And it, to me, like the argument that's been made in some of the articles I've read, that golf is not exciting. Golf is the most exciting sport you could watch. And there's nothing wrong with the game whatsoever. I watched 6 hours of it last week. It was unbelievably exciting.
Mm. And it'll be that television audience that'll be very interesting. Will you be able to create enough of a movement around a new set of tournaments to justify it? Will there be millions of people watching it on a weekend? Like I don't think it's an absurd possibility that actually does happen. And if it does happen on down weeks for the PGA or when players are practicing, I think it becomes very realistic and like a very real part of the calendar. Like, I mean, there's obviously a reason why people are coming out against this as well. And like, I mean, it isn't just to do with the whole moral compass pointing in the right direction you'd suspect. It's probably because they suspect that this thing is not going to succeed and it's not worth that. Like, I mean, John Rahm coming out and saying, like, I mean, by the way, this is like one of the best ways to structure a sentence I've ever heard. I'm pledging my fealty to the PGA Tour. Like, I mean, there's a reason why he's coming out and pledging his fealty. Like, it's not just to do with the fact that he is disgusted by the Saudi Arabian regime, you'd suspect, or about where his money's going to come from. There is a real sense of legitimacy going on here, and they believe they're putting their chips on black here, which is this thing's not going to work out.
I think that some of them are definitely interested in the history and that point that John was making about the prestige. Like, McIlroy was talking about the money. You were reading those comments to us a little bit earlier on, and he was kind of saying, what difference?
He says, I'm in a better way financially than I was a decade ago, and my life is no different. I still use the same 3-4 rooms in my house. I just don't see the value in tarnishing a reputation for extra millions.
So for him, tarnishing a reputation is not about ruining the prestige of the Open or being kicked out of the Masters. It seems like he is clued into what's going on.
That's certainly what he's saying. If he felt that there was I don't know, I just think that if you could like fast forward into time and all of a sudden this becomes a very legitimised tour, which is quite lucrative and not only lucrative in a financial sense, but also it has a whole share of the pie when it comes to the competitive nature of professional golf. I just wonder, would there be more people hopping on board? I think time will tell. And like, I mean, when I said it, I'm not necessarily talking just about Rory McIlroy here. Like, I'm sure he's thought about this in a good way. But
wasn't the thing that they're going to do is play the tournament in America? So you don't actually have to go to Saudi.
But they're going
to
have one in England,
and it won't feel like you're propping up the regime or anything.
And they can't say, because there's a PGA Tour event at the moment in Asia. The CIMB Classic, and the European Tour for years had tournaments in Malaysia and in Australia, so they can't say, well, you know, you're meant to be part of the Asian Tour or the Saudi Tour when they've already done that themselves. Therefore, the PGA Tour's response, and Jay Monahan was threatening the nuclear option, and as you say, maybe he might not be allowed to, but getting into the Asian Tour has been a clever piece of work, because generally the Open Championship would always have had spots for Asian Tour players. Like Todd Hamilton in 2004 won the Open Championship. He played mainly on the Asian Tour. So that is a very clever piece of investment from Greg Norman and the people behind the Saudi-backed league. But I just for the sake of competitiveness, like, this week is what it's all about. The top 10 players in the world in the one tournament, and I know we say it's 50 weeks of the year, but maybe they might play about 20 to 30 events only a year anyway for their own heads.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
John, good stuff. Thanks very much for that. John, we'll be back with you on Saturday afternoons here live on Off the Ball on News Talk. It is 8:57. If you want to get in touch with us, you can leave a comment in the YouTube stream. Bobby Dwyer says, I'm back. Our resident Spurs fan. He's only trying to force Daniel Levy's hand. Levy knows he's on his last chance with the fans, and Conte knows this. Conte's on 20 million a year. No danger of him walking. He knows what he's doing. Also, this Kane talk needs to stop. It's getting boring at this stage. Every summer since 2015, there's been talk of him leaving, and he's still there. In fairness, Bobby, you'd have to say that most of the talk came from the Harry Kane camp last year. That's where that originated. I'm just taking an extra long holiday. I have sore shins. I couldn't find the keys to get to the car to training. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Trevor Halloran says the home nations make no money out of the Lions Tour. Who are the home nations? What is this home nations you're talking about, Trevor? you text back in there and explain what you're talking about. It keeps the Southern Hemisphere unions topped up. Why are we funding them? We, the home nations, funding the Southern Hemisphere. It's a good question. Why are the home nations funding them, Trevor? Good man. Peter says, Michael Edwards is a huge part of the way Liverpool get players. He also structures transfers where it's never money up front. So we'll see if they can survive. We'll wait and see.